Hey, welcome to the ground for showers over here.
Maybe we should
give him
the spot next to
you.
No.
Too intimidating for me.
I can't
handle that pressure.
Jonah, Tyler, great to have you guys. Flush of a... Where do you guys go to school? You go to Hafta? What about you guys? And they're gone. Okay. The Chashiva alumnus sponsored tonight's Shmuz Anonymous Butler Fushlema Esther Bela Bas Yonina Tova. I think we've heard this name before, and she should have her Fushlema. I know we've heard this name before. She should have her Fushlema. Amen. I used to have a guy, Renan Kalimnik. Somebody knows him? Renan Kalimnik? His brother is your age?
No,
yeah?
Really.
His cousin, maybe.
Cousin.
His cousin, right. We saw him last night. Right. So Renan, there was never a shmooze I gave without Renan interrupting in the middle and pushing back, fighting back. And I'm just sharing that I missed that. It's funny, I already know. I don't know why. I thought of him today and I missed that a lot. There's some things I say, even last night when I was talking, there's some things I say, I'm like, when I like lay down at night, I'm like, how did I say that? Like, how did that come out of my mouth? And life goes on as if like it made sense. Okay? Nobody pushes back. It is what it is, you know? Okay. I'll take it. So I got a very long voice note this morning, and he was commenting about something I said. And he forced me, I responded that I said, listen, there's a lot of pressure to prepare shmooze every day. I don't have time to prepare shmooze every day. I told you, I need hours and hours. So it's really just like fresh thought, raw thought, a lot of raw thoughts. And the pushback demands, it forces all of us to think it through and make sure what we're saying is a mahalach, it makes sense, it's something to consider. I put a lot of value on that. I'm just saying. Okay, there's a Medrash Tanchuma that says, this is one of the, when the first time I heard this, you can't forget the first time you hear this. If you heard this before, you can't hear it enough. And if you never heard this before, this is unbelievable to hear. The Medrash Tanchuma just says a line. It says, Amar Moshe, lo ish dvar manochi. So we're familiar with this. Moshe, when Hashem first encountered him, Hashem said, I'm inviting you, you got to run the show, you got to take charge, you got to lead Klal Yisrael out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe responded, lo ish dvar manochi. No, 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 no. Oh, water is good. And I saw when Jeremy was speaking, you went up. And that I agree with. That for sure I agree with. When Jeremy was speaking. I'm assuming you did that. Is that what you did? Yeah, that was. I appreciated that a lot. But when I'm speaking, let the kids enjoy themselves. So Moshe said, "Lo ish dvar manochi." So he said to Hashem, "I appreciate the job offer, but I'm not a man of words. I can't speak." And we know the story with the coals, with the fire, the paro, whatever he had, some kind of impediment. And he's a lo ish dvar manochi. Ulevasof, and at the end, Eile hadvarim. These are the dvarim asher dibur Moshe. Like astounding, this medrash. Astounding. The guy who said lo ish dvar manochi is all of a sudden the guy at the end who he authored. You have to understand what this is. It's chamisha chumshei Torah, but it's kind of really, again, you have to understand how this works, but it's kind of really arba chumshei Torah, and then one, what's called Torah's Moshe. It's Mishnah Torah. Mishnah Torah means Moshe Chazard, and everything in Dvarim is first person. He's speaking a different language. The whole Torah is authored. Again, the whole thing's obviously authored by Hashem. I'm not denying that. But there is something about this, that the first four Sfarim of Chumash is authored in the perspective of Hashem is telling us Torah. And then the fifth book is Moshe's... he had a whole speech, a whole lecture. He gives a big lecture. And this is the guy who wasn't able to speak. And he didn't author a whole book with a pen. He authored a whole book with what he told Hashem he doesn't have the capacity to do. And if it was medical, it was some kind of medical impediment, and all of a sudden the guy who was lo ish dvar manochi, he becomes the guy, Eila hadvarim, this is the biggest man of words the world has ever seen. That face is an emoji. It's like he's giving the... Okay, so there's a, so that's the Medrash Tanchuma, what I just read. The Medrash Rabba adds a little bit. Very good. Thank you. Medrash Rabba adds a little bit. Medrash Rabba says, Hare Moshe ad shelo zochel l'Torah. Before, it doesn't say Har Sinai per se, but until he was zochel l'Torah, k'siv bo lo ish dvar manochi. So it says he was not a man of words. Kevin shezochel l'Torah nisrape, he was healed. When he was zochel l'Torah, nisrape l'shono, v'hiskel l'daber dvarim. And he was all of a sudden a big talker. Minayin, and the Medrash Rabba says, how do you know? And then it says the line from the Medrash Tanchuma, Eila Advarim, Asher Dibur Moshe. So there's two, I for sure spoke about this in the past, because this Medrash by me is one of the most powerful, because it's the most obvious. It's something that when you hear it, you say to yourself, I should have noticed that. I should have noticed this powerful message of Lo Ish Dvar Manochi, which is a famous pasuk. People are familiar with that, and then see the contrast with Eila Dvarim. I should have noticed that. I'm embarrassed I didn't pick up on that. And then even if you didn't pick up on it, but you hear the Medrash, and you think to yourself, that's so powerful. What I could take so much out of that. I'm sure I spoke about this in the past. I don't remember, but there's two, I would say, obvious lessons to take out of this. And the first one we're not going to talk about, but it's kedai to talk about a different time, is just untapped strengths. That Moshe Rabbeinu became the man of the greatest words in all of Klal Yisrael's history, he assumed about himself that he was a low ish dvarim. And it's a whole sugya about untapped, unknown strengths that you have, and that's kedai to talk about. We're not going to talk about it though. I saw a line in the Smash MS that made me realize there's another sugya going on here. And he says a line that I would have never learned the Medrash like this. I could have read the Medrash 1,000 times. I would have never said this line. And he learns this Medrash and he says, Mikoach ze she'amar lo ish dvarim. It was because he said lo ish dvarim, that's why zach lomar eila hadvarim. It was a cause and effect. Since he was willing to say, admit, or acknowledge about himself that he's low ishtvarim, therefore, he became an ishtvarim. I would have never learned the sugya like that. By me, it was a sugya of, you see a contrast with what a person thinks of himself versus what a person could build himself up to. I think that's a simple way to learn the Medrash, to walk away and understand what the kavana, what the takeaway is. But the way the Sfas Emes seems to learn the Medrash, it's A led to B. It's only because he was willing to admit Lo Ish Dvarim, which is why he got the schus of Eila HaDvarim. We got to make sense of that. How exactly does A lead to B? So I feel, a lot of times when I don't prepare for myself, I know always that when I speak, this if it was good for you and if it was good for me. So I don't know if it's ever good for the audience. I don't know if the audience takes that. The other day, I was talking here, and I was saying stuff that I really was connecting to, resonated by me a lot. And I saw in the fringes over here, I possibly put the whole wall to sleep over there. And by me, it was a big compliment, because I hold that if people are falling asleep, we're saying real divrei Torah. And if everybody's awake, we're just entertaining, we're having a good time. So for me, if you fall asleep, I take it as a big compliment. I'm very proud of that. But I was wondering, this message was resonating so strongly by me, and the whole crowd, on the walls at least, looks like very comfortable over there. I almost knocked everybody out, which was great, amazing. So I don't know how the crowd always receives what I say, but I know how I say it. So this year, right before a few of you were there, so when I don't prepare, sometimes I notice that when I don't prepare and I just talk and I just get into myself and try to develop things naturally, I like it a lot. I don't have the confidence to do it because sometimes I'm afraid I don't know if we're going to take this too late, but I'll tell you like a thing I used to do. I was always afraid to speak in public without clear notes. Petrified. Until COVID hit and we went on Zoom, I had to give a shmooze every day, and on Zoom has a end. What's that button? End meeting. So my finger sat on that end meeting button, because if chas v'shalom I would get stuck, I wouldn't know what to say. I'm giving a shmooze off the cuff every day. I could just end meeting, breathe, collect my thoughts, figure out what's next, and like, oh, sorry, you know, I don't know what happened. Never bad. But those months, that's one thing I really gained in COVID. Those months gave me a lot of self-confidence to be able to speak and trust myself and be able to take it places. But it was only because my finger was on the button. But I'm always nervous to speak without clear notes. But I find sometimes if I go off the cuff, it resonates with me more. So this year, I had a big schus. The last day of the year, I gave the second to last day of the year like a shmooze to my shiur. And then the last day, some guys in the shiur, they said, oh, we got to do a last shiur. And in my head, I'm thinking to myself, we're doing a banquet. You guys are packing to leave. What am I hold you hostage and give a shmooze again? It's like the third day in a row that morning seder is a shmooze. It was a little too much, but I felt guilty. So they said, we have to do it. And I said, okay, so I'll come in early. And I gave a shmooze. And I momish was not prepared. I didn't know what to say. And I spoke about a topic and I loved what I said. I was so happy about what I said because it wasn't clear in my own thoughts, that topic. Great to see you, Jared. You could give to your friends also. Okay, if you're a friend of Jared, you can take whatever you want. Everybody should know that.
Tell the kids upstairs to be quiet.
And we... Chilukei Deos. Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehakol Miyom Hadvar. So we spoke about a topic that I'm very hesitant to discuss, because the topic is not 100% clear by me. We spoke about humility. And it wasn't recorded. I would be interested to hear. I don't want to hear any of my recordings. I cringe. But that one talk that we had in that small room, hot, stuffy, last day of the year, if you were there, I really liked what I said. I would like to hear it again because I don't remember anything I said. But I remember I liked it. So we spoke about humility. And humility is a topic that when I was in yeshivas, there was a strong messaging when I was in yeshivas that we don't work on humility. And they say it was a mesorah from Revolvi not to work on humility. And the reason I understood, I think it's accurate, is because when a person works on humility in our generation, it easily leads to depression and sadness and low confidence. And we all, I say this with conviction, we all struggle with low confidence and depression and sadness. So why should we make things worse? There's no reason to make. And this was, we're talking, Revolvi, I think, said this in the 1990s. So if it was true then, Al Akas Kam of Account. It is a party. It's a party upstairs. So humility is something that I'm always nervous to speak about. But we're gonna, I think I spoke about it well there. I don't remember what I said. I'm gonna rehash fresh thoughts. I wanna know what it means. What does that mean, humility? When Moshe says, Lo ish dvarim anochi pashtus, he's saying a humble statement. And Moshe was anov mikol adam, he was the most humble man. So it makes sense, his character was to be a humble, to do humble things, to speak humble, have humble opinions about himself. So what does it mean, humility? So I think we confuse this. And humility, people assume, means to have low self-worth. I call it a stock value. When it comes to shidduchim, I try to encourage guys. You know, I mean, you'll be there tonight, I guess, maybe, but that's by chance. But if it's more intentional, more deliberate, I got a look from Lefko just now. So, if it's more intentional, more deliberate, in a couple of years from now, so I always encourage guys: know your stock value. Every Jewish girl is amazing, and she's amazing, and only amazing. But know your stock value. Okay, we're gonna leave it at that. We'll talk when you're taking offers. You should know your stock value, because your stock value over the course of your growth, when you're learning, it rises. And sometimes you look at yourself in the mirror and you see one thing, but you have an inaccurate perspective. And that's what I call low self-worth. So people think humility is low self-worth. I know I'm growing, I'm developing, but you know, who am I? You woke hunched over and you don't feel so good about yourself. And that's a baseline. A person has a baseline. It's probably natural. Or once you hear about humility and the value of humility, you develop this baseline. It's just, I don't have a lot of value. And whatever comes, and I'm not entitled to anything, I don't deserve anything, and who am I? And all these lashonos that you probably see in Musar Sfarim, which they say it in a very healthy way, but we receive it in a very unhealthy way, and it damages our self-worth. But sometimes we interpret that humility means low self-worth. That's one option. And there's another option, which is what I'll call low self-appreciation. Because low self-worth is a baseline, it's where you start. But then you see, you accomplish things. You start to do things, you start to make achievements in the world. There are things you should be proud of. And humility, people take it in the wrong way, and they say, no, don't appreciate yourself. Because if you appreciate yourself too much, it's kolchi v'otzim yadi, you'll be gaivadik, yura. Everybody loves yura over here. So it'll lead to bad things. So the baseline is low self-worth. And even as you develop and you achieve things in this world, low self-appreciation, and you pride yourself, not you, but people unfortunately pride themselves, I am an anav. No, you're depressed. You're not an anav. If you have low self-worth and low self-appreciation, you're probably you're depressed. Because I don't know how you get out of bed in the morning. If you have no value and your achievements have no value, then why are you waking up in the morning? Your contributions are meaningless. Your presence is meaningless. So why are you getting out of bed in the morning? So the teretz is, I'm sorry to say, some of these guys, they don't get out of bed in the morning. That's the teretz. And they're doing a great job, but they're very humble. They're very humble. Extremely humble people. So in the next world, they're going straight to Gan Eden because they went through all the midos of the Mesillas Yesharim. You know, they surpassed Ruach HaKodesh and Nevuah, and they reached humility. And now they don't get out of bed in the morning because they're such humble people. Unbelievable what they've accomplished. But they have no value and no appreciation of who they are. And then I found this line in the Medrash Tanchuma. I was just trying to contrast the two Midrashim. And the Medrash Tanchuma throws in an extra line. And it says, Hashem responded to Moshe when Moshe said, Lo ish dvar manochi. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Adam HaRishon, Mi lamdo shivim lashon. Who taught Adam 70 languages? And what was Hashem telling Moshe? He was telling him, you claim not to be a man of words. This is none of your business. You're not a man of words. I don't care what you are. I gave it to Adam. I could give it to you. That's a great taina. It's a great response. And it sounds like from this response of Hashem that Moshe was lacking in bitachon. He was questioning Hashem's ability to give him the strength to be able to lead Klal Yisrael. What exactly, where was Moshe's position in this conversation? So I thought to myself, that was exactly Moshe's position in the conversation. Hashem said, Adam HaRishon, I taught him 70 languages. And Moshe said, yeah, Adam HaRishon, you taught him 70 languages. And if you taught Adam HaRishon 70 languages, that means you could also teach me 70 languages. But if you could teach me 70 languages, that means you could also teach Aaron 70 languages. And if you could teach Aaron 70 languages, that means you could teach Dasan Vaviram 70 languages. So lo ish dvar manochi. And he was saying, why am I entitled to that gift? Hashem, you want to dispense gifts? You want to distribute all these nice things to your people, to your chosen people? So lo ish dvar manochi. Why you got to choose me? Right now, I don't have it. You want to distribute it? Aaron's a great guy. There's a lot of great guys. A lot of great people. You want to do shoftim v'shoftot? You could have Miriam. She's a nice girl. A lot of great options here. So lo ish dvar manochi. So Hashem says, I'm going to make you an Ishtvaran. And Moses' response was, exactly. If you're going to make me, so you can make anybody. And you can take this in two directions. And this is where it gets serious. If you understand where your gifts from Hashem are coming from, that's not arrogance. If you understand what your strengths are and acknowledge and pay attention that this is something that you didn't create, it's always a real sore spot by me that intelligent guys in yeshivas are on a platform, it bothers me a lot. Because intelligent guys are naturally intelligent. And so they flaunt, I don't know if they flaunt or Rebbeim platform them or speak highly of them. This is not a fair game. This guy got a gift. So he has a gift, he's very good looking. He has a gift, he's a very good athlete. He has a gift, he's very intelligent. Some guys have the triple crown. They collected all the gifts. And so he has a gift. There's a chazanish in Emunah B'Tachon who says a great vart that everybody should know for your life. He says, two Bali Chesed live in this world. And one of them goes to the next world, equal Bali Chesed. They do the same amount. Tremendous. Both of them tremendous. One goes to the next world, le'elo, le'elo, the highest of the highest. And the other goes, Kol Yisrael Yesham Chelik Olam Haba. He gets in and Hashem gives him a kiss. Hashem gives him a hug. But now le'elo, le'elo. Why, says the Chazon Ish? Because where was their starting point? So in this world, you look around, you see two big people, two people of tremendous Bali Chesed. Oh, he's amazing, he's amazing. And in Hashem's eyes, they're both amazing. Kol Yisrael Yesham Chelik. For him, that's, I gave him those gifts. He was born a natural Bal Chesed. So obviously, for him not to do that, that would have been crazy. But naturally, he was given that from the baseline. This guy, I gave him a Zarius. He was a vicious, cruel person. He bullied every kid in school. And you see what came out of the guy? Whew, Leilu, Leilu. It's going to go up and up. To acknowledge, step one, this piece, that Lo ish dvarim anochi. I'm a very intelligent guy. That's not me. That's amazing that Hashem gave me. That's called humility. Humility doesn't mean I'm the most intelligent guy in the room. If you are, you should know that. You look around. Ooh, you know, 1520, 1380, 940. I got a 1590. You know, I'm Memtes. I didn't reach the Nun. Memtes. I got a 1590. I'm going to Yale. I'm going to Penn. I'm going to Ivy League schools over here. Everybody else, you know, kvetching around, YU, Sci Sims, Trio, all the fun. And that's not a lack of humility. That's, you're honest. Humility means Lo ish dvarim anochi. It's not me. I'm not gonna walk around and get on a high horse, Kilu, I did it. I didn't do that. Hashem implanted within me this great seichel, this great bina, this great chachma. That's amazing. Humility doesn't mean not to acknowledge it. Humility means to understand where it comes from. If you do that, here's where it gets crazy. Mom is crazy. If you do that, then you start to realize if Hashem gave you that gift, He could give you any gift. So whatever you don't have, you could have that too. And when we give up hope that certain things we can't attain in this world, that's a lack of humility. Some people will think that, no, to know that I can't reach certain levels in this world, that's humble. I see in this medrash the opposite. Because Moshe told, again, I'm teaching, I'm saying upshot. Moshe told the Ribbono Shel Olam, I know it came from you. And if it came from you, you could give it to anybody. So why are you choosing me? And Hashem says this lashon from the Sfas Emes. Since you said Lo ish dvarim anochi, that's why you're going to say Eila hadvarim. Because you acknowledge, you're the only one to acknowledge that your words, if you have them or you don't, it's a gift from me. That means you could get any gift. That means now you're entitled to any gift you wish for. You pull out the, you know, everything obviously goes back to Aladdin. You pull out the genie, and you can ask the genie anything. Why? Because there's nothing out of your reach in this world if you attain a true sense of humility. Because humility means it doesn't come from me. And I acknowledge and I am grateful and thankful that Hashem chose me. Asher bachar banu, He chose you. Asher bachar bacha, He chose you to implant that gift into. Hashem could have chosen anybody to give this high level intelligence. He chose you to give high level intelligence. like they stand up at the Oscars. They win a big Oscar. Oscars are, I don't think, as good of an example. What's a sports awards called?
ESPYs.
ESPYs, thank you. You stand up at the ESPYs and you say, and the guy, you know, he won the championship, he won the MVP, he got all the accolades, he needs a new fireplace to hang all the trophies already. And he stands up at the ESPYs and he says, I'm very humbled to be here. I never thought, what do you mean humbled to be here? You just got like your eighth trophy. What are you humbled? You must be the king of the world over here. Humbled means when you get to a certain madrega, and it happens. I give you a bracha to happen to all of you. When you get to a certain madrega, you have no choice but to acknowledge, there's no way I just did that. There's no way. I just won the championship and MVP and all first team, whatever that thing's called. There's no way I just did that. I know myself. There's no way that just happened. So I'm humbled because I acknowledge on this madrega that I reached, that can't be me. But when you hit that madrega, like the Sfasema says, once you say lo ish dvar manochi, then Hashem wants you to be Eila Advar, Asher Dibur Moshe. Because now you come to this, what you might think is an arrogant perspective of saying, Hashem, I make a joke with one of my kids. I don't even know if you guys know what this is, but there's a movie. I think it's old and I think it's new. It's old and not new, for sure not new, but old, and maybe they had a comeback. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and there's a song I remember from a long time ago, and there's a song over there. I don't know if it was in the new one, but in the old one, there's a song. I think it was some. I don't remember who sang it, but I remember the line. I want the world. I want the whole world. I can't sing. I would do it, but I can't. I want the world. I want the whole world. I know the rest of the song also, not for now. But you become, your eyes get big, and you start to say to yourself, if I can be so humbled and win the championship and win the MVP and win all the trophies, so like Jordan did in my day, I'm going to play baseball now. Because who knows what I could do? I'm going to play golf. I can do anything. Because if ultimately everything you acknowledge, everything's coming from Hashem, and Hashem chose you. He chose you to carry that gift. So that's a tremendous humility to acknowledge that. Acknowledge it, accept it, and take it and use it to understand your mission in life. And that puts you in your mission for life. Clearly Hashem gave you this gift to utilize it. Boom, I got my mission. Intelligence, you know what to do with it. Good personality, you know what to do with it. Good looks, challah baking tonight, you know what to do with it. And you have to notice it, notice it. Yes, Chaim. I'm done. Chaim's gonna say a few words.
Question. So you said before, like, for example,
I was dragging, like hoping I gave enough of an introduction, somebody would do something.
Exactly. So somebody, you said like before, like somebody, it's more surprising, somebody who has, let's say, these natural gifts or anything in any realm, and doesn't go ahead and use them, like, that's more surprising in a certain sense.
More painful.
Right. So then, is there room, like, take pride in the fact that, like, Hashem gave you gifts in whatever area, and I went ahead and put that to great use?
Oh, that's what I'm saying. That's humility. Like everybody else would say, that's Yura, that's arrogance. I want, again, he invited himself to the conversation, so I'm gonna call him out. I want the big poster in the back, Baal Chesed of the camp, Chaim Messenger, Baal Chesed of the week. I'm not gonna go crazy over here, Baal Chesed of the week. But we're never gonna have to change the poster. We can leave the poster all the summer. It'll be Baal Chesed of the week, Chaim. Every week is going to be like that. And you can say, oh, no, I'm very humble. No. Hashem gave you a gift. Be proud. But acknowledge, it's not you. It's not you. Hashem gave you that gift. Yeah, that's not Eric. Again, I'm saying Chiddush. Now all of a sudden there's a lot of pushback now. What do you say? Now we're talking. Now we're hanging out. Now we're, you know. Last night I was thinking, like, what was I saying last night? I said to the girls that guys don't want to learn. Only, what was I talking about? But I know what I'm saying. My mouth works faster than my brain, and I have to think about it afterwards. And I'll tell you what I meant. What I meant was, guys, we either want to learn the chavrusa, which is amazing, guys enjoy that, or when we hang out, we want to like talk, discuss things. But nobody wants to hear a shir. That's what I was trying to convey. Like girls, they like to hear shears. That's what I hear. I understand girls like to hear shears. Guys hate shears. Guys are like, I'll learn during Seder, but during shear, I'm out. Like, I'm not going to shear today. Seder, I'll do. And so this is a conversation. I don't want it to be a lecture, because then I'll end up with girls, and I'm not familiar how to teach girls. So.
Is it like gaiva /disrespectful to not use the talents that are given to you?
Gaiva is I don't know. I would love for everybody to think about that, but for sure disrespectful. Disrespectful to you and to God. Because if God gave you that gift, you have to acknowledge that he chose you.
Wouldn't it be gaiva to say that I'm not doing it because
The way I could interpret it into gaiva, if I was forced to put it into that box, and I think you could if you want to, is to say that even though God gave me the gift, he doesn't know me. I know myself better, and I'm going to take my talents elsewhere. So he wants me to take my talents in that direction? Good for you. I'm going in a different direction.
Also,
that's what does it mean, gaiva? It means you know better than God. That's tremendous, gaiva. To the ESPYs,
yeah.
All the way to the ESPYs. You gotta win the ESPYs. You gotta win the Super Bowl, and you gotta get to the Hall of Fame, and all the accolades. And again, some people could do it bitsnias. I'm not saying to do it befarhesia. To do bitsnias is always better. You don't have to. The poster was a joke, but it's a joke. It's a joke to put in the base medrash, but it's not a joke to put it in your room. They say a maisa or Mordechai Gifter. It's a famous maisa, I don't know if you heard it. Some maisa I never say because I heard them 1,000 times. I'm like, everybody knows this. I'm not going to say this maisa, but it's a new generation now. The famous maisa of Mordechai Gifter, that when he was a bacher, I think he tells, so he had a picture of all the gedolim on the wall, and he had one picture, frame, the picture fell out. So somebody asked him, you know, who was there? Who fell out? He said, nobody fell out. That frame's for me. And it sounds like, well, that's very Davidic. You know, who do you think you are? Eventually, people put his picture on the wall. Why? Because again, I'm learning it up in this sugya that he understood what he was capable of. He knew he could be a god of Israel, and he knew if Hashem gave him that gift, that he's got to maximize it. So we say gaiva. No, it's humility. Hashem gave him a gift. Now utilize it. Take it all the way. Yeah, Nathaniel, what do you want to say?
We spoke about it on the last day.
You got to remind me what I said. I forget.
Also.
Oh, Tashma, yeah, now I remember.
So then what's about? How are you someone who pursues the talents and the high ability, but also someone who can be taught in those same aspects, because at the end of the day, you don't know everything.
Right, that was a different Nakud. Now you're reminding me, yeah. Yeah, different Shmuz. Yeah. No, I don't know. But I would love to think about that. Now that you're reminding me, I would... Thank you. I would enjoy thinking about that. Scott.
It sounds like using your talents is like what you should do. But how is that different to Azaba? Doesn't it sound the same?
The acknowledgement is another. The acknowledgement that they're talents that were gifted to you. It's another to realize that what you have, was again, you should take pride in what you do with it. You should take pride. You shouldn't have low self-appreciation. You should have high self-appreciation in that you acknowledge the gift and you maximize the gift. That you should be very proud of yourself. But the first step of acknowledging that it's a gift is another to understand Hashem has a direction for me to take in this world. And I'm subservient to Him. Another means Moshe was anav mikol Adam because he was an Eved Hashem. He was subservient to Hashem. And he understood his mission by seeing what he's capable of. Okay, you know, today, now I got too much. So we'll stop here. We could talk afterwards. But okay, Shkaich, it should be a new frontier that we discuss these in Yanim. Shkaich.